Hallelujah. Grace when he found us. Grace when he saved us. But James says he gives more grace. Oh, how many's glad to know he gives more grace. Have you ever needed more grace? Glory to God. Let's praise him one more time. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your loving kindnesses. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Chapter 6, John chapter 6. Jesus and John, as you're turning, come early tonight, pray before service. Let's prepare our hearts for what God wants to do in the evening service. He may want to move in a spontaneous way beyond the perimeters of our plans. So let's come and pray that he would do something in our lives tonight. You might have noticed in the Gospel of John that chapter 6 is not only the longest chapter of John, but is word-wise probably one of the longest chapters in Scriptures. But the bulk of John chapter 6 is the words of Christ, the words of Christ. And this is a very involved message from Jesus of who he is. And today we're going to look at a portion of this. We'll just take the time allotted us. There's no way we can get to everything Jesus said in this chapter. But every bit of it is very, very important to us, our life now and eternity. And this is a portion of Scripture where Jesus announces himself as the bread of life. I want to read two verses, if you'd stand, and then we'll pray and get into the message, and we'll look at other verses. And just kind of a you are here mark, last week we talked about how Jesus walked on the water, and that had just followed his feeding the 5,000. That's important to what he has to say, because he fed the 5,000 by producing bread for every man, woman, child. He produced bread. He, as the Creator God, yes, he used that little boy's 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but it was really out of nothing that that bread was produced. And so that's the context. Look at verse 26. And Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, ye seek me. We just stopped there, it would have been fine. But he said, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Listen to his instruction here. This is for today. Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but labor for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. If you were astute as we read those two verses, though both of them mentions bread or loaves or manna, we're talking about two different kinds of breads here. Verse 26 was a bread that they partook of that fed their bodies. But the bread or the meat or the loaves of verse 27 is another bread. It's the bread that the soul partakes of, that feeds the soul, the inner person. I want to preach this morning on missing the manna in the miracle. And I'm not speaking of the physical manna, but the spiritual manna. Great things can be done by God, and yet people miss the spiritual manna that he's offering them. Could we join our hearts together and pray? Father, thank you for this gathering of people. Lord, may you shut out every distraction from our hearts and minds and the people that are gathered here. Help there to be a growing sense of your presence. May we hear beyond my speaking. May we hear the words of Christ that he spoke then. and that he's speaking today. Lord, somebody here is weak. Somebody here, Lord, is drying up on the inside. Some, Lord, are without strength. And I pray that before the message is ended, they would take your pro-offered bread and feast and know strength in their heart and mind. Anoint me to speak your words in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. You can be seated. It was back in the early 80s, and some friends of mine were at the riverfront in St. Louis, and we were handing out tracts and witnessing to folks. And right there under the arch there, quite a group of young men had gathered around us, and we were telling them about Christ. And I remember watching outside, coming down the sidewalk, but outside the group of young men that gathered, here come this drunk. And he's got his whiskey bottle in the brown paper sack. And he kind of stumbles up to the edge of the crowd. And he listens for a while. And then he interrupts. He lifts up that bottle of whiskey. And he said, if you want to know about Jesus, look here. He said, here's Jesus. And he held up that whiskey bottle. He's more truthful than he knew, but he got real silent. And one of those young men there, not in church, you can tell by his deportment, things he'd been saying and doing, not in church or anything, his eyes got real big and he said, that might be Jesus in your book, but that ain't Jesus in my book. And I didn't think to ask him then, but as I prepared this message, I thought to myself, I sure would have, I had to ask him, and who is Jesus in your book? And I miss that opportunity, but I ask everyone in this house this morning, who is Jesus in your book? What's your concept of him, your idea of him, your thoughts of him? You see, in this text of Scripture, Jesus had been trying to show the people who he was, but they weren't getting it. He worked the miracle and they missed whom he was saying that he was. Amen. He had mass produced the bread. He mass produced the fish. And they should have thought Messiah, King, God. But instead of thinking Messiah, they thought stomach, an easy meal, food. You see, the people didn't get it that morning or that afternoon that there are two kinds of manna. There's that physical manna that feeds the body. There's the spiritual manna that feeds the soul. And they thought only in terms of the physical manna. And they missed the spiritual manna. They just didn't get it. And Jesus tells us why. They didn't get it because they were desiring the wrong thing. Amen. What you even and I get out of this service is dependent upon what we are desiring from the Lord. Can you say amen? They, like so many today, despite of all that Jesus had done, they simply didn't get who he was. Here's the problem. If you and I don't get who Jesus really is, we'll never experience what he can be to our souls and to our lives. It's getting who he is. That's when we experience, amen, what he can be to our hearts. But I want you to know that day and yesterday and even today, there are those who get it, who Jesus really is. They get it, that he's the spiritual bread, and they get something else. They get that only Jesus can satisfy the soul of we humans. Only Jesus can meet the deepest longing. Jesus is the bread that satisfies the cravings of our heart in our life. Bread in those times was the main staple of people's diet the world over. That was their basic, common, necessary food. Bread. Amen. You had to have bread to live. Amen. Amen. I want to ask you a question as we move into this message this morning. Bread was their main staple. What is your main staple? What is it that you turn to assuage your soul? What is it that you turn to for strength on the inside? inside? What is your main staple? What do you turn to for meaning and purpose and reality? Amen. May it be that you turn to the true manna, the bread from heaven. May you turn to Jesus, because only He can satisfy. Let's look at our text and notice that the people were pursuing Jesus for the wrong manna. And much of what I'm going to do today is read a few verses and make some comments and move on. But verse 22, if you'd please follow, so this will mean something. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save the one whereinto His disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with His disciples into the boat, but that His disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, after that the Lord had given thanks. Now, you got to see the picture here. On the east side of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus fed the 5,000, sent His disciples back across the sea, went up into the mountains and prayed. But the next day, the people on the east side, where the disciples had left Jesus, had a question. Where is Jesus? Well, He went to the mountains and prayed. Well, He's not there. He's not in the village. He's not on the side of the sea. Where's Jesus? Well, He couldn't have taken a boat, because there was only one boat here. And the disciples took that boat, and we watched as the disciples got into the boat, and Jesus didn't get into the boat with them. So where is Jesus? What they didn't realize, they might have needed a boat to get to the other side, but Jesus doesn't need a boat. You might remember Muhammad Ali on the airplane. The stewardess told him to please put on his seatbelt. He looked at her and said, "Listen, man, Superman don't need no seatbelt." She leaned over and said, "Yes, but Superman don't need no airplane either." Jesus didn't need a boat. They didn't realize what had happened. But, oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad He don't need what we need? We need what He has to give us. Amen. Jesus didn't need a boat. And so they couldn't figure that out. Where did Jesus go? Now, John's explaining this. So right here, you can see it here. He has to give an explanation. Because, see, the people in a moment are going to take boats to go to the other side seeking for Jesus. So John has to explain that though there were no boats the night before, now that it's morning, there are boats. Now, I spent two nights in Tiberias, and I can kind of see this in my mind. But if you'll remember, the disciples, when they were trying to go across the sea, which would be in the direction of Tiberias, the wind, the scripture says, was against them. I preached it last week. They fought that wind. They rode against the wind. But many ships caught in that storm couldn't overpower that storm, and so the wind blew them. Well, if the wind was against the disciples and they had come from this spot, then there's one explanation. The boats were blown by the storm back to where Jesus had fed the 5,000. And John's explaining that there were boats there. But there's another explanation. Another explanation is that the boats had come to pick up the people that Jesus fed the night before. And that may be. But I think the real explanation is this. I think boats showed up over the night and early morning because the news got out that Jesus was passing out free bread and fish. And that was too good to pass up. So they filled the boats up and they sailed to this spot on the east side of the Sea of Galilee to get in on that. Amen. So let's look at verse 24. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, the east side, and His disciples weren't there, they hadn't come back, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. They knew Jesus had sent the disciples on to Capernaum. He had sent them to the other side. They knew Capernaum was Jesus' headquarters. So they got in the boats and they went after Jesus. Now, I'm being kind of hard on these folks. I'm telling you, they were seeking Jesus for the free lunch. But I also want to point out, they might have been seeking Him for the wrong reason, but you got to give them this. They were seeking Jesus. And sometimes there's a desire that comes up in my heart, whether it's for a free lunch or not. I just wish people were seeking Jesus for any reason. It's just good to be seeking Jesus. They were seeking him. That is to their credit. I'm amazed at the lack of spiritual curiosity of Christians today. Amen. And one example of how little curious people are about Jesus is there seems to be little curiosity and interest in the fact that Jesus is coming again. I didn't just throw that in there. It's going to show up in our text. Jesus said the important thing is I'm here as bread to get you prepared for the last day, the coming, the second coming, the judgment. Amen. People have so little curiosity, but these were seeking Jesus. Verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? How did you get here? Now I want to tell you, they were mystified, but I want to tell you, however God moves and whenever God moves, there's always a mystery in how he does things. He doesn't do things like we do things. There's a mystery to that. Amen. He had come walking on the sea. They didn't know it. Their question is, how did you get across the sea without a boat? Now you got to get this, and this is where it begins to get good. Instead of answering how he had come across the sea, Jesus instead revealed the condition of their heart. They wanted the mystery solved, but Jesus instead turned the spotlight on their hearts. Here it is, verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, that's a good thing, but you're not seeking me because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Amen. He's not saying, you didn't see me divide the fish and the bread, you didn't see the miracle itself. Remember in John, miracles are signs that point to who Jesus is. And when he says you didn't see the miracles, he's saying you just didn't get it. When you saw me produce that bread, you should have known I was God in your midst. You should have known I was the great Messiah. But you saw the miracle and didn't get it. Why? Because you were all caught up in physical bread and physical food and getting something in your stomachs. This is not nothing new. Some, even in the church, are still only interested if there's a free lunch involved. Amen. They don't see the sign of the miracle. Amen. They only think of the immediate need being met. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with bread. There's nothing wrong with fish. Jesus provided it. But when that's all you're after, and there's no interest in spiritual things, don't tell me people aren't more interested in bread and fish. I'm not trying to be harsh, but you announce prayer meeting, there's little appeal to that, and few show up. But you announce a big church dinner, amen, and folks show up. I'm not being critical. I is one of you, but the appeal is for the literal fish and bread. Amen. We have that going on today. And so instead of giving people the true Jesus, Jesus is being presented by preachers and singers as something that appeals. He's presented as the high. I mean, if you listen to folks today, Jesus is someone to trip out on love over. You go on some love trip. Jesus is the way to make your dreams come true, to fulfill your dream. Jesus will make you prosperous. Jesus will get you promoted. Jesus will get you a new house. Jesus is the way to be outstanding, to stand out, to excel. Jesus is the way to escape your guilt and continue to live as you want to live. All those things appeal to the bread and fish of man. Jesus said, you're not seeking me for the right reason. You should seek me because I'm God, I'm Lord, I'm Master, I am Messiah. That's why you seek me. When you really don't get who Jesus is, you'll be out to get from him that which he doesn't want to give you and what you don't really need. I said, when you really don't get who Jesus is, you'll be trying to get from him what he's not set on giving you, and what he knows is not good for your soul. I've noticed, you've noticed, folks not getting what they want out of Jesus, give up on Jesus. That extrapolates to the church. When folks don't get the thing from the church that they want, they give up on the church. Amen. They can cast it in however light they want to, but in the end, they were after the bread and the fishes rather than the one who produced them. Oh, I want to be after Jesus for the right reasons. I want to be seeking him. Amen. Let's move on. Verse 27. Jesus revealed their heart, and then he gave this admonition. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Two kinds of manna, two kinds of meat. Meat here, we think of meat like poultry and beef and fish, but meat here just means food that sustains. And very, very often it's used for grains. If you remember the Old Testament, he talked about the meat offering. It was the grain offering. He's still, when he uses the word meat, he's still talking about bread. He said, don't labor for that bread that rots, but labor for that bread that's going to endure to everlasting life. But I got good news. You don't have to go looking for it, Jesus said. The Son of Man is here to give you the bread that you need, the real bread. And I am here as an envoy of God himself. I'm here with his approval. He has sealed me. I'm here on official business from God. I'm the authentic one. Jesus, what is he doing here? He's not advocating that you don't work for your food. Labor not for that meat which perisheth. What he's saying is all of our effort should not be in the pursuit of that which is temporal and material, but our effort and our pursuit should be for what is eternal. I'm not on a soapbox, but listen, just listen with your ear. And too much of the church today is about what is material and temporal. And Jesus said, don't you be putting your focus and your effort for the material and the temporal. Oh, but have an effort in your heart and a focus for that which is eternal. Why? Because the temporal, Jesus said, is going to rot. It'll perish. But the eternal is going to go on and on. I could almost reason with my mind and see in my mind that John, who recorded these words of Jesus, later wrote in his epistle, he said, if you love this world, the love of the Father's not in you. And if you love this world, you're going to perish. But he that doeth the will of my Father shall abide forever. Jesus said, you got to be after the right thing. Amen. Amen. What he's doing, he's rebuking a materialistic approach to the kingdom. Serving Jesus for what you can get materially out of him. Don't tell me we're not there in our world, in our church world. God wants to prosper you. God, I've heard it this week, God, or last week. God wants you to drive the latest car. He wants you to live in the fanciest of houses. He wants you to take the most exotic of vacations. And if it's not something like that, God wants you to be entertained. God wants you to be psychologically massaged, as it were. And yet that's juxtaposition to what Jesus said. He said, don't labor for those things. That's not what I'm about. Amen. Jesus could have given them that day what they wanted, more bread and fish, and impress them. He could have walked on the water and wowed them. Instead, he dealt with the motives of their heart and said, you're working for the wrong thing. You're focused on the wrong thing. You ought to be focused on spiritual things. Some people make no effort to nourish their souls with spiritual food. I'm just trying to preach the word this morning, but I want to tell you, some people, even claiming to be Christians, never pick up this book, the Bible, during the week. They never have a season of prayer during the week. They can come to church and never sing the song, never lift their hands, never visit the altar, never pray. Why? Because they're laboring for the material and the temporal, and Jesus said, don't do that. Even put your focus on the spiritual. I'm going to speak as a fool, as Paul would say, for a moment. I could have left this out easily. But many weeks, there's 20 hours of study and preparation that goes in to one of these Sunday morning messages, and I look out and see someone on their cell phone the whole time or chatting to their neighbor. That used to really get me upset because they weren't paying attention to me. But it's not about not paying attention to me. It's about they're laboring for the wrong meat. They're focused on the wrong meat. Hallelujah. It means we have Sunday school teachers that study all week, get into Sunday school class, and no one, I shouldn't say no one, there's some that don't give their attention to that. But I want you to know, Brother Brock here, I know this for a fact. He's 90 years old, and to this day, he spends all week studying his Sunday school lesson, and he's not teaching the class, he's just studying it because when he comes, he wants to get everything he can get out of that lesson. Oh, that's what our focus ought to be. Oh, hallelujah. Anybody here spiritually hungry? Anybody here want the bread that feeds the soul? Hallelujah. Now notice this one thing. Jesus didn't just throw it in. He said, the Son of Man's going to give you, I like that, I'm not going to have time to focus on it, he'll give you this bread. For him hath God the Father sealed. Hallelujah. He, man, what's he saying? He's saying, if you want the authentic bread, you need to look to me, because God has certified, God has verified that everything else is false bread, but he's verified and certified. I am the true bread. Oh, that's on God the Father. You see a seal, they put wax or clay and put the impression of the insignia of the person of authority in that to say this is real. This is the real thing. I want you to know Jesus stood before them offering them bread, not as a charlatan, not as a false prophet, but he stood there certified of God at his baptism. Even God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John the Baptist said, I saw the Spirit descending upon him and remaining upon him. And John said, I profess that this is the Son of God. Every miracle that he worked, God was saying, this is the real thing. This is the authentic thing. This is the true bread. Oh, how, what are you saying? He had the seal of approval upon that bread that it was real. The real bread for the real need. Let's move on. Well, the people began to protest when they didn't get what they wanted. Look in verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the work of God? He said, labor for this other bread. Well, what shall we do? They missed it again. They're all into works. These are Jews and Pharisees. It's all one more offering. It's all doing one more fast day. One more prayer. Okay? Listen, you're going to give us, what should we do to get the true bread? You want us to do another work? We'll do that. They're still missing it. Jesus used the word labor work, but he's not talking about doing a religious thing or a good deed. He's talking about being willing to do whatever we need to do to respond to God's offer. You don't earn the bread. You respond to his offering of bread. Churches are confused about that. There's nothing you can do to work to earn this bread. The work, the labor Jesus is talking about is what you do to respond to the bread that is freely given. Hallelujah. You say, well, if God wants to save me, this is the logical conclusion of so much theology. If God wants to save me, amen, I don't have to do anything. I'll just sit here. He'll hit me in the face with salvation, and I'll coast into heaven. If he doesn't want to save me, there's nothing I can do. Oh, what a lying theology. Amen. If you know what I'm talking about, you do. If you don't, you don't. But I want you to know it's not that way. Amen. You can't earn this salvation. But when he says come, you need to get up and come. When he says believe, you need to start confessing. Hallelujah. When he says you've got sin in your life, you need to start repenting. We're not earning. It's not a work of earning. It's a work of responding to his great grace. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they begin to protest. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto him, they said, what work do you want us to do? Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe. There it is. You believe on him whom he has sent. And believe, that's the work. Verse 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Amen. Do you see what's happening? Amen. No wonder some of the prophets said, you're slow to heart. You're just not getting this. Jesus could have said the same thing. What did they ask for? They asked for a sign. What do they think Jesus had just showed them? Fed 25,000 people miraculously. He had just showed them a sign. He had been showing them signs, but in their desire for the sensation, for their desire to be wild, to kind of put this thing off, they require another sign. He's been giving them a sign and they've been missing it. They'll miss the next one too. You know, for some, it's never enough. It's never enough. God speaks, it's not enough. God talks to them, it's not enough. God moves into service just for them, it's not enough. Even the preacher preaches a message right to them, it's not enough. They keep kicking the can down the road. I want another sign. I want to see something else. Jesus said, you've already seen enough to believe if you really wanted to believe. And could I say this morning, we've seen enough to make it to heaven. We've seen enough to be kept by the grace of God. We've seen enough to be saved. We don't need to be looking for another sign. If he wants to move and make another sign, that's great. But we're not looking for another sign. We're believing him. They're protesting. Verse 30, they said, therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see? And then they said in verse 31, you know, a sign kind of like this. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're still stuck on Moses. Moses has already come up. And I've told you from the beginning of this chapter, this has taken us back to Exodus. They're stuck on Moses and the law. Everything's Moses, Moses, Moses. But notice their error here. They said, Moses gave us bread from heaven out there in the wilderness. Here there's supposed to be a student scripture. Moses never gave them that bread. He only announced God was sending it. Moses never gave them water out of the rock. He just obeyed God and smote the rock. But they're stuck on Moses. It's not Moses. And I've seen some folks stuck on this preacher and that preacher, and they've missed the real message completely and totally. Amen. Amen. Stuck on Moses. Amen. Amen. And notice, not only stuck on Moses, but stuck on the past. Jesus has just made bread in the wilderness. But they're going back 1,400 years about what God did back in the wilderness. That's okay in its purpose and its place. But they had a current reason. Did you know some folks are so stuck on how God moved in the past that they can't see how God's moving right here, right now? I'm glad for those testimonies. There's a time for them, and they're an encouragement and a catalyst. But some folks are so stuck in the past. What God has done, they can't see. Well, God gave us a tremendous move of God 40 years ago. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But we've had moves of God recently, too. I'm going to get way ahead of myself. I just want you to know what they missed. We need to realize the manna is still falling. I said the manna is still falling. Amen. They're stuck in the past. Amen. Now, let me tell you just something briefly about manna, and we'll hurry to a close. Even how did that come? The children of Israel are out in the wilderness, and they're murmuring because there's no food. Moses, have you brought us out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? We're going to starve to death. Amen. Moses said, I've talked to God, and God said he's going to give you bread, and he's going to give you meat. He sent them manna and quails. But let me just talk about the manna. Amen. Moses said, in the morning when you get up, amen, this manna is going to have come from heaven, and it's going to be all over the ground, and all you got to do is go out and pick it. Even though I wish I had time to preach it, I don't. But let me tell you this much of it. It happened according to Moses' word. In the morning, maybe it was dad that got up first, maybe it was one of the kids, but when they opened the flap of the tent and looked out, it looked like it snowed in a place where it don't snow. Come here,
everybody, and they're all over the ground, is this white substance. Amen. One of them was curious enough to bend over and pick a piece up and bit into it, and it tasted like honey. And as soon as it got in their mouth and they swallowed it, they felt strength coming all through their body. You talk about a power granola bar. Amen. There was a whole lot of nutrients. There was a lot of pick-me-up in that wafer. Now listen, I don't speak Hebrew, but let me tell you what they said. When they saw it and tasted of it, they said, "What is it?" And guess what the Hebrew is for "what is it"? Manna. Oh, hallelujah. Sent from heaven. What is it? It's manna. They're stuck on that. But Jesus said, if you only realize manna has come from heaven. One more time. I am the manna that has come from heaven. I am the bread. Oh, don't you have enough curiosity to say, who is this? But I know one thing. If they would have only tasted of that bread, it had been sweeter than honey. He would have put the same power and strength of their soul as the manna put in those folks' body. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the manna from heaven? Oh, I'm just thinking of that song as I preach. Where could I go but to the Lord? And one of the verses said, when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? He's our bread. They'd never seen anything like manna. They'd never seen anyone like Jesus. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you. He's correcting them. They just said, Moses gave that bread. He said, listen, Moses never gave you that bread from heaven. But my Father gives you the true bread. He has set the record straight. Moses was a great man, a servant of God, but he did not produce the bread. But Jesus does more than produce the bread. Jesus from God is the bread. Oh, he's the bread of life. Oh, I said hallelujah. He is the true bread. Nothing false, nothing pretentious. He's true in the sense that all the properties are in that bread that he claims that are there. He's the real thing to meet the real need. So much that is preached and taught today is not true bread. It's psychology with a few gospel words thrown in. It's self-help. It's prosperity. Amen. But Jesus is the true bread. Where do we get this idea? Amen. Serving God, that we needed something beside Jesus. He's the true bread. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life to the world. Oh, that bread that's unlimited. That bread that has the self-nourishing properties of peace and joy and purpose and meaning. That bread would have meant nothing at all to us because we could have never reached it. Brother O'Hare, it was too high on the shelf. It would have meant nothing to us if it had stayed in heaven. But thank God the bread didn't stay in heaven. It came down from heaven. I want to tell you something wonderful about God. Amen. If your soul is starving, he always puts the bread within reach. I said he always puts the bread within reach. The manna came down outside the tent on the ground. All they had to do was bow down to pick it up. And sometimes when the bread comes, that's the only thing we need to do. Bow in humility, bow in contrition, bow in repentance, and pick up the bread that he extends. Not only should we get excited about it, that it came down from heaven, we should get excited that it gives life. Religion's dead. The bread gives life. Excited about one more thing. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to a splinter group of Jews. But notice what he says. It giveth life unto the world. Why should we get excited about that? Amen. Not many of us here are Jews. And we're not Pharisees. And we don't practice the Judaic religion. If he had just come from the crowd that day, we'd been left out. But he said, I'm going to make something clear. I'm offering you guys bread. But I didn't come just to be your bread. I came to be the bread of the world. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's the, it don't matter your nationality. It doesn't matter your ethnicity. He is the bread of the world. He has come for all men. Verse 34, then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They do have some spiritual hunger. That would be nice to have this. Amen. Everybody has spiritual hunger. Some have dulled it. Some have denied it. But people have it. Even here this morning, there's spiritual hunger. But I want you to notice this language. When Jesus said, here's the bread, they said, give us this bread. How many remembers that lady at the well? Jesus said, I'll give you a well that'll never run dry. It'll be in you springing up to life. And the woman said, give me this water. Now he said, I've got bread. Give me this bread. I don't know how you feel, but I'd like to join that woman, and I'd like to join those men. And one more time, I'd like to lift my heart to heaven and say, give me this water. Give me this bread. Anybody here have a hunger in your heart? Hallelujah. Things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still. I've experienced this and that, but my soul still thirsts. Verse 41, but just like in the wilderness, the Jews murmured at him. Just like they complained to Moses in the wilderness, they, instead of taking that, they murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from him. That's the saddest thing. How the people of God can murmur and complain with the bread right there among them. Verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then? He saith, I came down from heaven. They drew their conclusions with insufficient evidence. If they had investigated further, Jesus wasn't born in that country, and he wasn't born of Joseph. Amen. But they didn't investigate. They just drew their conclusion. Amen. It gets worse, but at this point, they just said, he can come down from heaven. Joseph's his father, Mary his mother. Amen. I'm not going to get into this except to say just this past week, I saw on the YouTube where the one of the big star, preacher big stars, just came out and said, when Jesus was born, that never was God being born. That was just man being born. Came out and said it this week. People still aren't getting it. He is who he said he was. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to close by looking at this. Jesus then just comes out and he proclaims himself the true manna. Verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus is proclaiming that only he can satisfy the soul. It's been often quoted. Let me quote it one more time. Please hear it. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. As I prepared this, it kept coming to me. I hope I gave it for a slide. But this kept coming to me so strongly. No amount of that which cannot satisfy will ever satisfy. I said, no amount of that which cannot satisfy will ever satisfy. People try things of the world, from drugs to sexual activity to alcohol. Amen. Looking for that to satisfy, and it doesn't. Instead of giving up on that, they increase their intake. They say, well, if I'll just try more of that, if I'll just get more involved in that, if I'll just go further, let me tell you one more time, no amount of that which cannot satisfy will ever satisfy. But oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He will satisfy your soul. The manna of that Moses time had come 6 days a week, fed 2 million people for 40 years. But Jesus said, this bread of life is he that comes. He's still coming. Hallelujah. The bread is still being given. Verse 36, but I have said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. They missed it. Verse 37, all that the Father, this is what we got to end with. Look at his words. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. I don't have time to deal with this week. We'll pick it up next week or another time. But I just want to tell you, there it is. There's that work. There it is. The bread is come. It's being offered, but it's still up to the ones that come to him. I may deal with it next week, but just briefly here. Some have made this a matter of God arbitrarily saving this one, choosing not to save that one. And the Father gives me this one, but he doesn't give me that one. That's not what it's saying at all. He's already set the perimeter for receiving. The perimeter is to believe. And here's what it's saying. If you believe, God will enable you to come to Jesus. If you will believe, God will empower you to come to Jesus. If you will believe, he'll give you repentance. If you believe, oh, and then here's the other half of that. Not only will the Father enable you to come, Jesus said, but when you come, I will not keep you out. I will not cause you to be barred. I will receive you and open my life. Oh, what a Savior. What a message. Are you hungry this morning? Would you come, music? Praise the name of the Lord. I was at a restaurant a week or so ago, and they wanted you to fill out one of those surveys. And the sign there said, fill out this survey, and you will get a free burrito every day for a year. Now, with the exception of my son-in-law, let me tell you something. If you're eating a burrito every day for a year, let me promise you something. You're going to get sick of burritos. I'm just saying, however much you like that restaurant, you're going to get, so you hate that restaurant. You don't want anything to do with it. Why? It's going to be theologically profound, because burritos will never satisfy. You'll be look for variety. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm just saying this is such a wonderful truth. When Jesus says, I am the bread that you can partake of, and you will not be looking for anything else. You will be satisfied. You will have found what your soul longs for. And I didn't get time to touch on it, but he said it's not just about having meaning and purpose. He said you're going to need what this bread gives you. You're going to need it to be ready for the last day. You're going to need it to be ready for the judgment. You're going to be need, because this bread not only gives you strength for the day, but it gives you eternal life. Would you stand? Let's worship him. Hallelujah. The bread has come down. Amen. Figuratively, would you reach up with your hands and your heart and say, I want to get another piece of bread. I want to take another bite. I want to feed my soul this morning of the bread from heaven. Hallelujah. Oh, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. It's in a crowded city this weekend, people everywhere tasting of the pleasures of this world. But everywhere I looked, I saw emptiness, dissatisfaction. I was overwhelmed to think that many people don't even know the Lord, very few of them. And that's awful in terms of eternity, of course. But it's awful to think of folks living that way, unfulfilled, unsatisfied. But could I say Jesus' words one more time? He that cometh to me, he said, I am the bread of life, and he will not hunger. He that cometh to me, I am the living water, and he will not thirst. Amen. If you want to feast on the manna, would you come? If you're here this morning and you want to surrender your life to Christ, someone will be here to pray with. But let's come partake of the bread of life. The bread of life. The bread of life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's come? Come on, you Gentiles. Aren't you glad he came for the world? Not just those people in that narrow strip of land, those Israelites, but He's the bread for this world. Oh, we can't earn anything, but could we put a little labor into getting the spiritual bread this morning? Could we put a little labor, a little effort in seeking spiritual things this morning? I want to seek You, Lord. I want that bread. Praise the Lord. Oh, when my soul needs manna from above.
If You could have seen me before my Savior found me, then I know that You would understand.
Oh, would You seek Him? Would You seek Him?
All the change that's happened since I met the Master. He touched me with a tender nail-scarred hand.
Oh, somebody get a big old soul full of bread.
And in that moment, brand new life began.
Jesus, we need You. Jesus, we
only
seek
You. He could take the broken heart and make it new again. Only He could fill a life with joy.
Feast
and
on
break
the bread.
The chains of sin.
Feast
only
on the bread.
Only He could shed the precious blood that frees us. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Only He could take the broken
what
heart
a Savior.
And make it new again.
What a
only
Lord.
Only He could fill a life with joy and break the chains of
don't
sin.
Don't need another sign.
Only He could shed the precious
just
blood.
Just partake of what He offers.
Jesus.
Just believe.
Jesus can restore the joy to shattered, broken dreams and bring the wayward, wandering heart to the table of the King. The King only, He could take the broken heart and make it new. Fill a life with joy and break the chains of sin. Only He can shed the precious blood that frees us. Only Jesus. Only Jesus.
Oh, feast on His goodness. Feast on His love and grace.
Only Jesus can restore the joy to shattered, broken dreams.
The bread has come down amongst
bring
us.
Bring the wayward, wandering
hallelujah.
Heart to the table of the King.
Oh, partake of that bread.
The